I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to Module 13. Welcome to the module that's going to teach you advanced astral Akashic record reading. Now, let's break that down a little bit. This is advanced because you were in the advanced program. It's astral because you're going to be doing this process in your astral body. And it has to do with Akashic record reading because you're going to access the Akashic records, the records of everything that has ever happened, everything that is currently happening, and everything that will happen. Of course, we know that the future is indicated but not set in stone. Now, you may recall from my basic program on astral projection, in the Akashic record reading part, that I trained you to access the Akashic records by meditating, moving into the Hall of Records where the Akashic records are kept, accessing any record you wanted to while in the library of the Akashic records, and then leaving the library. In this program, I want you to realize that whether you mastered that technique or not doesn't matter, because I'm going to teach you an advanced technique. It's not necessary for you already to have an ability to access the Akashic records in order to use the advanced technique. Whether you've been able to access the Akashic records or not, you're going to be able to use this advanced technique. In fact, one of the aspects of the advanced technique that I like the most is that it's actually easier to do than the basic technique. The reason it's advanced is not because of its difficulty. It's advanced because it's actually a lot faster and a lot more thorough. As you progress through this module, you're going to realize what I mean. But let me begin with a refresher course on what the Akashic records are. Now realize there are Akashic records and there is the Akashic record. When you hear someone say Akashic record singular, that either refers to the entire body of Akashic records or to one particular record. So for example, if I were to say you were going to learn about the Akashic record, that would refer to the entire body of knowledge, which makes up the Akashic records. But if I were to say, let's look at this particular Akashic record, then you realize that we're just looking at one record within all of the Akashic records. The Akashic record, in its entirety, is literally a chronological record of everything. When you think of things that are worthy of you spending time learning, you may think of law school or medical school or learning to read tarot cards or learning something in your job more thoroughly. But what if you had access to everything? Think of the Akashic record as the ultimate internet. When you are connected to the internet, you have access to a limited amount of information. It seems limitless, but it is actually, by definition, limited. The internet will give you access to every computer that's part of the internet, but that is a finite number of computers. There is a limit to the knowledge on the internet, and although it's growing every second, in fact, every fraction of a second, it will always, by definition, be limited. The Akashic record is not limited. There are individual Akashic records that are continually being written, little by little, as the future becomes the present, and then the past. Changes are made in individual Akashic records. What the Akashic records thought would be the future may be altered, and so by the time it becomes the past, it may be different than it was originally recorded. That's because of free will. We have free will. We can look at the Akashic record of a particular day for a particular person in the future, and we can read that such and such will happen to that person on that day. But if that person finds out that such and such is going to happen to him or her, they can change their direction and cause it to not happen. Think of the movie Back to the Future, a fictional movie, yes, but it made some powerful statements about time and how it could be altered. In the movie, there was the probable future, the future in which things happen a certain way. For example, the main character, Marty, played by Michael J. Fox, had parents who would probably turn out to be a certain way. Yet, when Marty traveled to the past and made alterations in the past, it affected the way his parents turned out. Sometimes the changes were for the better and sometimes for the worse. So, although the Akashic records do not give us the ability and make changes that will affect the present, the Akashic records do give us the ability to look at the probable future and to make changes right now. And to some degree, you already have an intuitive concept of the Akashic record. Think about this. If you continue doing what you're doing, the way you're doing it, and where you're doing it, you know what it will probably produce. Now, there's always the chance that something is going to interfere with that, and alter the course of your future. However, we can say what will probably happen. And when we look at any of the Akashic records in the future, we see what will probably happen. The Akashic records make calculations based on what will probably happen based on what's happening right now. But when you change, your future changes. You've seen people change course, for better or worse, just like the characters in the movie Back to the Future. Sometimes little changes, for example, not meeting certain people, can have huge results. For example, not getting married, not having a family, or getting married and having a family, therefore affecting every generation that will either happen after that family or not happen, depending on whether or not they met one day at one particular time, and even whether or not they were looking at each other. They may be in the same place at the same time but not even see each other. So little things can have a big effect. That's one of the lessons that you will learn in the Akashic Records. You can read the records of what will happen to you a week from now. You can make drastic changes if you don't like what you see. But again, I want to tell you that you've been doing this already intuitively. You already know with some degree of certainty how likely it is that certain things will or will not happen to you based on what you are doing right now. So much of our destiny is controlled by us. That's the way life is set up. If it wasn't that way, then there really wouldn't be any point in us even playing a role in our lives. We could just sit back on autopilot, not do much of anything. Life would just happen. If it were, in fact, all predestined, we wouldn't be able to stop it or change it in any way. But it's not like that. It's not predestined. Your future is not written in stone. Your future is wide open to the possibility of you doing anything you want. Let's take a look next at the Akashic Records of the past. The Akashic Records of the past are concerned with a proper, chronologically ordered record of events. When we think about a filing system that has a record of events, we think about certain things being recorded. Perhaps someone has a record of the major world events that happened in chronological order, dating all the way back to the year 1900. That would be a fairly elaborate set of files, but that is nothing compared to the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records record everything that happened. And when you think about it, this thing we call time is infinite. I would like to suggest that that is a strong argument for the absence of time, because if we're trying to quantify something that's not quantifiable because it's got a value that we call infinite, then it's really difficult to say it even exists, at least in a quantifiable format. We like to think that we'll go to lunch at 12 o'clock, and we'll go home at 5 o'clock, and we'll go to work at 9 o'clock. Those are just conveniences that help us organize our day. The Akashic Records show us that this thing we call time doesn't have a beginning or an end. And by the way, we don't either. So if we are infinite, and time is infinite, and time may not exist because it's infinite, do we exist since we are infinite? Food for thought. I would like to suggest that time is our attempt to control events. And the Akashic Records honor that, because everything is chronicled according to time. Yet everything is infinite. It never ends. And we never end. So, let me introduce you to a new way of looking at reality, and that is that time is just an experience, and that we are part of that experience. We flow infinitely in both directions, past and the future, just like this thing we call time. We are part of it. We are part of the experience, part of the experience of each other. We are all interconnected. So I like to look at humans and time as a flow. Of course, when you have a meeting tomorrow at 3 o'clock and you have to be there on time, this concept of time being infinite and us being infinite and flow doesn't really matter to those people who are waiting on you. So in some cases, it's practical to adopt the modern view of time. Now, let's focus specifically on what you're going to learn in this module. Now that you understand a little more thoroughly this concept of time and how you fit into it and how the Akashic Records honor this concept of time to a degree, because before there was measurable time, according to humans, we didn't have this convenience of naming things. What date would you say it was 3 trillion years ago? Well, there was no calendar system. So when you get far enough back or far enough ahead in the Akashic Records, you're no longer able to rely on symbols to denote time. For example, if I write 3308, that means March 3rd, 2008. If you look back 3 trillion years ago, you're not going to find any such symbols in the Akashic records, but you are going to find a record of what happened, and you are going to find it in the proper order. Now, given the fact that you have so much information in the Akashic records, it's very important to focus. I want you to realize that you also have access to infinite information in any one given period of time. For example, if I wanted to look back in time 1 hour ago using the Akashic records and find out everything that happened 1 hour ago, that slice of information, even if I just wanted to look at 1 hour ago and limit it to 1 second. In other words, I'm looking back 1 hour. Let's say it's 12 o'clock now, and I'm looking back at 11 o'clock. But even if I limit it from 11 o'clock to 11 o'clock in 1 second, so I'm looking back an hour ago, but I'm only looking at 1 second of history, realize that there is infinite information in that 1 second. Infinite things were happening. Sometimes I say an infinite amount of things, but that's not even accurate. Because if we say an infinite amount, that implies an amount. Amount implies a limit, and there's no limit. So infinite things were happening. In that 1 second, a bird was flying in the state of Utah in the United States of America. It was blue. It was flying at a height of 10 feet because it had just left the ground. A man in Singapore was sitting at his office desk. He was wearing a red tie. He was holding a blue pen. So you see what I mean. Everything in the entire universe that happened in that second is recorded in the Akashic records. Every little thing, all the way down to the atomic level and lower. So that's why it's very important to focus when you read the Akashic records. You're not interested in the placement of every molecule in the universe in that split second. What you are probably interested in is something that relates to you or someone you know, or something you're interested in, a larger historical event, for example. So you need to be very specific. Now, in the basic program, I teach people to read the Akashic records, and I teach them to go into the Hall of Records, to gravitate upward, to find what they want, to pull the book off the shelf, to bring it down and read it in the Hall of Akashic Records. That is one way to read the Akashic records. In this program, I want to teach you an advanced way. You're going to learn to internalize the records through astral Akashic record integration. Astral Akashic record integration is a process that I developed which allows you to streamline the reading of the Akashic records. Think of it as installing a hard drive into your soul, which is constantly updated. It's sort of like having a subscription to the Akashic records, and every time they're updated, so is your information. This is much more efficient, I've found, than going to the Akashic records, accessing them, because there are changes made all the time. So the way you're going to do this is, of course, in your astral body. You're going to install this into your soul. It doesn't mean that you're going to take the Akashic records from where they exist in the Hall of Akashic records, which, by the way, is carefully guarded, and you can only access if you have the most pure of intentions. But it doesn't mean you're going to take all of the records and make them yours and that no one else is going to have access to them. It also doesn't mean that you're going to have access to them anytime you want. Additionally, it does not mean that they're going to flood your mind and your soul with all of this information constantly being updated. There are stipulations when dealing with the Akashic records. First of all, although you're going to have access to them without having to go to the Hall of Akashic records, your intentions must be pure. Let's say, for example, that you suddenly get the idea that you want to win the lottery and become a millionaire. And the reason you want to do that is so that you can impress your friends and neighbors and control people and get what you want. Does any of that sound like pure intention? No. So the next step you may logically take is to attempt to access the Akashic records to find out the winning lottery numbers for tomorrow. Do you think that you are going to have access to that information? No. The reason is that your access to that information does not benefit you, although you think it does. It really doesn't. It harms you in the long run. Nor does it serve the greater good. Let's say, for example, another scenario. You want to access the Akashic records to win the lottery tomorrow because you want to give $243 million away to charity, except for half of it. You're going to keep half for yourself because, after all, you're being nice enough to give half away, so you deserve half. Is that going to get you access to the winning lottery numbers for tomorrow? No, because now you have disguised your desire to get all this money for an undisclosed reason, you haven't disclosed why you want the money. And so you're not going to be able to fool the Akashic Records. My advice is to let go of this concept of lottery number reading. The main challenge I see with people who have access to the Akashic Records is that they want to use the Akashic Records for something that they really shouldn't. Your access to the Akashic Records can be permanently taken away, just like you can be kicked out of Las Vegas for cheating while gambling. Your access to the Akashic Records can be revoked. Think of it like a library card. And if you act up in the library, your library card can be taken away. Well, if you act up in this library, your library card will be taken away for the rest of this lifetime. So only access the future information when you are going to use it for good. Avoid accessing it if there's any indication whatsoever in your soul that you're up to no good, that you're just fulfilling an ego need, for example. However, the Akashic Records are very helpful when looking at your probable future. And the keepers of the Akashic Records really do like it when people look ahead, especially when they're on the wrong track and they know it. And they look ahead to see what might happen to them, and they see an unfortunate situation ahead, and they make changes. Because that's what self-improvement is all about, and that's what this universe is all about. You getting better and better every day in every way. Constantly moving forward, constantly changing, constantly evolving as a soul. So when you look for ways to improve yourself, the Akashic Records are more than happy to oblige. And think about a library at a university. If you use the library at the university to get a degree, the university is more than happy to let you use that library and even let you use an online library because you're advancing yourself and you're serving the greater good by setting an example and preparing to do your part as a professional in this world. So the Akashic Records are like an online library, except that it's infinite. But there are rules and you must respect them. So always go in with the best intentions. In order to properly use astral Akashic Record integration, you're going to have to be in your astral body. So if you want to pause this recording to do that, go ahead. If you're not yet at the point where you're astral projecting consciously, then continue working toward that goal and come back to this exercise when you have reached that goal. But for the meantime, you can imagine going through the process, and that will serve as a preparation for when you're ready to do it. And of course, the other way to listen to this exercise is to just listen and then do it later. So whichever case you find yourself in, let's proceed. Astral Akashic Record integration has to do with installing a constant access to the Akashic Records in your soul. So as you see your astral body, as you look down at it using your astral vision, I want you to realize that the information from the Akashic Records will be integrated with your soul, with your astral body, rather than being stored in a specific part of your astral body, such as is the case with a hard drive on a computer. It's in a specific location. The Akashic Records will not be in a specific location. They will flow with your astral body. The fastest way to access the Akashic Records is to ask your higher self or your overself to access them for you and download them for you. This is another streamlined technique which you're going to use in this program. So right now in your astral body, I would like you to focus on your higher self. That's right. Focus on that part of you which is in charge of making sure you get the lessons and the knowledge that you need in this lifetime. By the way, I don't want you to do this exercise in a moving vehicle, of course. So you're focusing on your higher self, and I want you to ask your higher self the following, word for word. Repeat after me with your soul, not with your physical mouth, but with your soul. I now humbly request the honor of having full access to the Akashic Records in their entirety. I request that this information be available to me at any time. I now humbly ask that my higher self will grant me uninterrupted access to the Akashic Records anytime and anywhere through my soul. Now I want you to sit quietly as I continue speaking, because I'm going to guide you through this delicate process. Your higher self now is acting as an intermediary, a go-between, between you, meaning your soul, your astral body, yourself, and the keepers of the Akashic Records, keep in mind that it is possible that they will deny your request or grant you partial access. This, of course, depends upon the evaluation of your overall motives. But if you have properly prepared yourself for astral projection, clearing your mind, clearing your chakras, raising your kundalini, then you should be okay. So just relax. I want you to focus now on the most beautiful place that you have ever been. And the reason you're doing this is to clear your mind and to focus your thoughts on something positive. During this brief evaluation period, I want you to be focused on something positive. Continue focusing on the most beautiful place you have ever been and smile. That's right, just continuing to relax. And now the download process should be happening. And what you should experience initially is a flood of information. All sorts of information coming to you, mostly odd information that you don't recognize, and that's fine and normal. It may be coming in through any of your senses. This is just a byproduct of the installation of the access to the Akashic Records through astral Akashic Record integration. So continue relaxing, continue smiling, relaxing, focusing on pleasant thoughts now. That's right. If you want to relax your mouth, that's fine. Just relax now. Thinking pleasant thoughts. Good. Now the appropriate amount of time has elapsed, and you should have full access to the Akashic Records. I want you now to thank your Overself by saying with your soul, "Thank you, Higher Self." And that thank you will be passed on to the keepers of the Akashic Records. So you realize that through this technique, you do not speak directly to the keepers of the Akashic Records. You speak to your Overself. That's important information, because if at any time you feel that you do not have proper access or full access to the Akashic Records, or to any particular record, you will ask your Overself to look into this for you. This usually takes approximately 2 minutes of Earth time, so you should have your answer fairly quickly. The answer will usually come in the form of either regaining access or realizing that that access is restricted. At certain times, your access to certain records will be restricted for various reasons. So now I want you to realize that you have the ability to tap into the Akashic Records at any time. Due to the installation that you have done, you can access them while you're driving or while you're reading, or while you're dreaming, or when you wake up in the morning, or any time you want. I suggest not doing it while you're driving or operating a motor vehicle of any kind, just because I find it to be distracting. Also realize that it's going to take a little bit of time to hone your ability to clearly see exactly what you want to see. You have access to unlimited information. Now, the installation is done in such a way with your Oversoul, your Higher Self, your Overself, it goes by a number of names, but that part of you that's in charge of watching out for you in this lifetime and making sure you get the lessons you need, the installation has been overseen by that part of you. And of course, that part of you, being interested in your own good, ensures that you will not receive a flood of information. So you don't have to worry about being constantly, consciously updated about everything that's going on, or constantly being aware of the entirety of history or all of the future. Everything is efficiently partitioned off so that you will only have access to what you want to have access to when you want to access it. But realize that seeing what you want to see is going to take some practice. Think of it like the internet, except that there's no keyboard and there's no monitor, yet you have access to the internet. You're going to have to develop your own keyboard and your own monitor. So here's what I suggest for the next few days, that you practice, and you don't need to do this in your astral body unless you want to. In fact, I believe it's better to practice it outside of your astral body. That way, you train yourself to have access to this information anytime, not just in your astral body. But I want you to practice accessing particular information. Now, I don't want you to access anything that you shouldn't know. For example, bank account numbers or lottery numbers for tomorrow when your intentions are not pure. What I do want you to practice accessing would be information that you wouldn't otherwise have about world events, such as information about the Civil War in the United States of America, or specific information about dinosaurs, or specific information about what a celebrity did last week. The theme that's consistent in each of these things you can look at is that this information is verifiable. Make sure that you're able to verify it. If you look for something about the Civil War, make sure you can check on it somewhere on the internet to make sure that it's accurate. If you're looking at information about dinosaurs, make sure you can look it up. If you're looking for information about a celebrity, public information that is, make sure you can look it up. So the idea is you're looking for information that you don't have consciously. You don't have access to it consciously. You haven't seen it anywhere. You're accessing it through the Akashic Records, and then you're verifying it afterwards by looking it up somewhere or checking the news in the case of what celebrities are doing. And of course, you're looking for what they're doing in a public way, not in their private lives, because things that happen in their private lives, although sometimes publicized or not always publicized, plus that's their private information, that would be considered a misuse of the Akashic Records. So make sure you can verify the information. This is going to allow you to build your confidence in using the Akashic Records, and then you can use them for more and more detailed information. So over the next few days, that's what I want you to do. Now, when I said that it's like using the internet without a monitor and without a keyboard, what I meant was when you use the internet, all you have to do is type something on a keyboard and it will show on a monitor. Well, with the Akashic Records, it's not done that way. With the Akashic Records, you're going to think about what you want to access, and the information is going to come to you in a number of ways, perhaps by feelings or impressions, perhaps by something you see, perhaps by something you hear, perhaps by something that you're led to look at, led to see. Because sometimes the questions we ask are answerable by our environment. For example, if I ask the Akashic Records, did it rain 5 minutes ago? I may very well be led to look outside and see if it rained 5 minutes ago. There will be evidence of it. So sometimes the Akashic Records don't feel it necessary to show you something, meaning show you something in your mind. They can show you something in the physical world by leading you there. So the more detailed your question, the more likely you are to get an answer which comes to your mind. It's being fed to you through your soul. All information from the Akashic Records is being delivered to your soul and is then put into your mind when you're in your physical body. Now, if you access the information from the Akashic Records in your astral body, you're also going to get impressions because you bring with you that which we call your mind. And you'll be happy to know it's also stored in your brain, the organic organ in your body that houses memories. It's going to be stored in your brain, so you're going to be able to access it later. So the information that you gather from the Akashic Records as it's revealed to you will be stored in your brain. You will have access to it. So if you experience it, you will be able to remember it later because it will be stored organically in your brain. But it will also be part of your mind, which you carry with you in the astral world because that's part of your astral body. That's what you take with you from lifetime to lifetime and anywhere you travel in the astral world. So now you have a way to access the Akashic Records anytime, anywhere. And the way that the impressions are going to come to you is individual for you. For me, they usually come as visions. I can see them. And I can add sound if I want to. For you, they may come as impressions or visions or sound or in any other number of ways. So the important thing is to practice doing this every day, so that you can develop your way of seeing the Akashic Records. The Sanskrit word Akasha, A-K-A-S-H-A, refers to sky or space or ether. So it's understood that the Akashic Records are a collection of knowledge that is encoded in ether, which is a non-physical plane of existence. And this concept is very common in conversations and in writings about New Age literature, but realize it's been around for a long time. In fact, it's not even accurate to say a long time because the Akashic Records predate time itself. So just as we have a lot of specialty libraries, for example, law libraries and medical libraries, there are various records in the Akashic Records. For example, records about humans, records about animals, and so forth. Most of the time when we talk about the Akashic Records, we're talking about human experiences. But realize that everything is recorded in the Akashic Records, even transcendental happenings. So, occurrences of a metaphysical nature are also recorded in the Akashic Records. Throughout recorded history, certain people have been able to access the Akashic Records, and certain groups of people, such as Tibetans, have been able to access the records. The Mayans, the Chinese, the Greeks, the Persians, Egyptians, Himalayans, many cultures have been able to access these records in the past. Indian sages of the Himalayas understood that every moment that happened in a soul's existence was recorded in a book, and that if a person took time to tune into themselves properly, they could access this book. Well, this book is the Akashic Records. Remember Nostradamus? He had access to the Akashic Records. Edgar Cayce also had access to the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are a library of everything that's happened. So not only do we have events, but we also have responses to events. We have responses in a physical form recorded and how the events change the universal consciousness. So every life form in the universe contributes to and can access the Akashic Records, not just humans. When you access the Akashic Records, you become sort of a spiritual medium. So anything that you can do to quiet your mind is really going to help with your access to them, whether you're astral projecting or not. So if you study meditation or prayer or visualization or yoga, you're going to find that this only enhances your ability to access the records. Remember that both events and responses to events are recorded in the records. So it's not just like watching a movie when you access the records. It's like watching a movie and knowing what every character is thinking and how the movie is affecting each of their lives individually. Realize that when we talk about the future, we can see certain events, but how people will respond is still up in the air, if you will. It's still unwritten. It's still unknown. The events themselves may not actually transpire because changes may happen in the individuals involved, causing those events not to happen, especially when they become enlightened and decide to change their course, thereby avoiding something that would have happened negatively. So when you access the Akashic Records, you can actually see different probable endings to a story. You can see, for example, someone in the future getting a new job, and you can see different probable outcomes of that, losing that job, excelling in that job, changing jobs. All sorts of possibilities are open because of the fact that we have free will. When Edgar Cayce referred to the Akashic Records, he said that each person will be accountable for their lives after each individual lifetime ends, and they will see their personal Akashic Record and see what they have done in this lifetime and see how it balances with their karma. So this sort of corresponds with the Bible's look at judgment and the Book of Life, which is consulted to see whether or not the person in their lifetime did what they were supposed to do. But in Edgar Cayce's view, this would be an intermediate step between each lifetime, just a little checking in process to see how we're doing. You may remember Jane Roberts from the Seth books, and in her writings, Seth says that the fundamental parts of the universe are ideas and consciousness, and that once an idea is conceived, it will live forever. In her writings, Seth argues that all knowledge and all ideas can be accessed through what's called direct cognition. This is the same as intuition. And that means that we're able to have information directly and immediately. This is a description of the Akashic Records. And Robert Monroe backs this up when he talks about his out-of-body experiences, this idea of direct cognition. Max Heindel writes about the Akashic Records, and that's H-E-I-N-D-E-L, calling it the memory of nature. He wrote about pictures that you could see, which told a story of what had happened. And in his writings, he talks about viewing the pictures on a screen and being able to shift backwards in time through these pictures and view them. He further wrote that you can view the memory of nature or the Akashic Records in different ways. You can read just about your life, you can read about the world and the way the world is affected by occurrences, or you can read about the spirit world and the history of it. He also writes that only certain people in the past were able to view these records. So look at it as an honor that you are able to view the records. Have you heard of the Urantia book? U-R-A-N-T-I-A. Also sometimes called the Urantia Papers or the Fifth Epical Revelation. It's a spiritual book talking about God and the universe. And it also mentions what it calls the living records or the Akashic records. In paper 25 of these writings, I found the following statement, quote, "The recording angels of the inhabited planets are the source of all individual records. Throughout the universe, other recorders function regarding both formal records and living records. From Urantia to Paradise, both recordings are encountered. In a local universe, more of the written records and less of the living. On Paradise, more of the living and less of the formal. On Uversa, both are equally available." So what's being talked about in this book are writings, the Akashic records, and how they record information not only of this planet, but of other planets, places we haven't heard of. Let me quote further. This is from paper 28. I found this, quote, "The memory of Mercury is a living trial balance, a current statement of your account with the supernatural forces of the realms. These are the living records of Mercury ministration, which are read into the testimony of the courts of Uversa. When each individual's right to unending life comes up for adjudication, when thrones are cast up and the Ancients of Days are seated, the broadcasts of Uversa issue and come forth from before them. Thousands upon thousands minister to them, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before them. The judgment is set, the books are opened, and the books which are opened on such a momentous occasion are the living records of the tertiary saconophim of the super-universe. The formal records are on file to corroborate the testimony of the memories of mercy, if they are required." So here we see a lot of references to places and cultures which we don't really know about. It's sort of like reading the history of a country, except you've never heard of the country. So realize that the Akashic records contain records of different cultures, different planets, beings from different times. And sometimes when you tap into them, not knowing where the planet is or what time it existed or what the beings were like, the information can seem a little odd. The information can seem as though you're reading about characters which you don't really relate to because you've never heard of them. So this was a sample of the Akashic records from different planets. I shared that with you to show you that the Akashic records cover a lot more than what we see every day, a lot more than what will happen in your lifetime or what happened when you were a child or even in your past lives. It covers lives, past lives, future lives of all existence. So sometimes you're going to stumble upon information that you perhaps don't understand because you've never heard of it before. You're not sure where the culture exists. And that's okay. If you want to study about other cultures and other planets, you can. It's out there. I wanted to expose you to that just so you know about it. Whether or not you follow up study with the Urantia book or anything that it mentions is up to you. But realize there's a lot of information out there. It's rich with information, all sorts of interesting facts. Realize that the Akashic records can be accessed from anywhere. And as long as the intentions are pure, anyone can access them. But you need to be very precise in what you're looking for. As you know now, there's a lot of information there. Look for exactly what you want to find, meaning know the time and the place, etc. So the Akashic records are the universal filing system, recording every thought, word, action, reaction, everything. In Hinduism, the Akasha, meaning the Akashic records in their entirety, are thought to be the primary substance of nature from which we get the other substances, or principles as they're called. Fire, air, earth, and water. The Akashic records are the cosmic equivalent of the collective consciousness of the universe. So you'll hear them referred to by different names in literature that you may come across. The universal mind, the cosmic mind, the collective unconscious, the collective subconscious. The Akashic records, when you think about it, are what makes psychic prediction possible. Without access to the Akashic records, there would be no psychic prediction, because the Akashic records are the record of what might happen in the future. So when someone makes a prediction about something, they're accessing the Akashic Records. Interestingly enough, some people tap into the Akashic Records without realizing it. For example, sometimes when people are in hypnosis, or when they're dreaming, or just waking up, or just going to sleep, or when they're daydreaming, they tap into the Akashic Records. Have you ever gotten a flash of something that might happen in the future? Usually this comes at a time when your brain is sort of checked out, not fully alert, not quite asleep, but in an altered state. It can also, as I mentioned, happen when you're dreaming. You may get a dream that's a premonition. Well, the dream, if it's about the future, happened as a result of you somehow tapping into the Akashic Records. Just like astral projection, some people astral project without realizing it or without being able to control it. Some people tap into the Akashic Records the same way, without realizing it or without really being able to get a handle on it and control it. That's why I want you to be able to control both with this program. So much more interesting and exciting when you're able to control where you go and what you do, what you see, and what you have access to in general, both with astral travel and with reading the Akashic Records. Let's talk a little bit more about Edgar Cayce, a fascinating person. Edward Cayce did his psychic readings in a state of either hypnosis or sleep. He would use both. Dr. Wesley H. Ketchum became very interested in Cayce at the time. Dr. Ketchum had a medical practice, but would use Cayce as part of his medical practice. Ketchum said, quote, "Casey's subconscious is in direct communication with all other subconscious minds and is capable of interpreting through his objective mind and imparting impressions received to other objective minds, gathering in this way all knowledge possessed by endless millions of other subconscious minds." So Cayce was tapped into the collective subconscious mind. And this, by the way, was before Carl Jung came along. You remember Carl Jung, the famous psychologist who studied under Sigmund Freud, who proposed the collective unconscious? This idea predates that, this idea of a collective subconscious mind. It's the same idea, though. Edgar Cayce was tapped into a network of minds, a network of spirits, a network of information, understanding that we are all spirits in our essence. He was tapped into everyone at his time and could read their minds and gather information. This was very valuable to Dr. Ketchum, and I would argue possibly contributed to the ideas of Dr. Jung in his development of the idea of the collective unconscious. What Dr. Ketchum didn't realize is that beyond being a psychic, Edgar Cayce was actually tuning in to something greater than that, to the Akashic Records, to the records of everything that could possibly happen. Dr. Ketchum made a logical assumption, which is that he must be getting this information from those around him, reading their minds. What he didn't realize is that Edgar Cayce was going a step beyond that and tapping into the Akashic Records, the source of information. Either way, it's wonderful that Dr. Ketchum realized the aptitude that Edgar Cayce had for getting information, because he helped publicize it. He helped make it known that Edgar Cayce had abilities. And anytime something like this happens, I think it's wonderful because it gets out to the public and they realize, wait a minute, there's more to our existence than what we see every day. If someone can predict the future, then there's more to this life than what we see. There's more to it than getting up and going to work. There's more to it than eating and sleeping. There's something else going on here that we should look into. You may wonder how the Akashic Records came to be, how they got there. For example, when you read a book, you can look at the book and see the author. The Akashic Records are put together by scribes. One scribe, named Tehuti, T-E-H-U-T-I, has the title Great Akashic Scribe. And just like any good author, he has shared with us some information about the Akashic Records. We know from him that the Akashic Records are a subtle etheric energy, and concerning the Akashic Records of the Earth, this energy is arranged in concentric shells within and around the Earth. So we have Akashic energy bands, or shells, which resonate with all life. And on Earth, we have gravitational and electromagnetic force fields, which occur naturally as a result of the planet being in existence. The energy bands are kept vibrant through two forces which physicists have yet to measure, which is our divine nature, the divine nature of humans, and our planet's soul. These two dynamics interact. We also know from Tahuti that, concerning the Earth, there's a main library, and it has two major levels. There's the greater Akashic and the lesser Akashic. The lesser Akashic concerns every thought, every expression, every feeling ever expressed on this planet. And they're actually recorded according to their intensity level. So realize that the lesser Akashic is fed constantly by people's thoughts. That's why there's so many movements to have people think positively. Have you ever seen those chain emails that say, okay, everyone on this day, we're going to think positive thoughts, and maybe you deleted them? Well, part of the reasoning behind that is to enhance the positive energy of the lesser Akashic. Since everything is recorded according to its intensity level, having everyone think the same thing at every time and making that a positive thought is actually going to enhance the lesser Akashic. Interestingly enough, the lesser Akashic contains some information which is not necessarily accurate. It's information that many people focused on and therefore created a spike in the lesser Akashic. If you were to focus really intensely on something and you caused a lot of people to focus really intensely on the same thing, then whether it was accurate or not becomes a non-issue. It's going to become recorded in the lesser Akashic because there's so much energy going into it. In fact, it's going to be featured prominently. It's going to make front page lesser Akashic news, if you will. So when we have large groups of people getting angry at other large groups of people, even if the anger isn't justified, it gets recorded in a prominent way in the lesser Akashic. So thinking positive thoughts, putting out good vibes, if you will, all of that is real and actually does make a difference. When you access the lesser Akashic, the beliefs that you bring, the feelings that you bring, the thoughts that you bring, the vibration that you bring, if you will, draws certain information to you and draws you to certain information. So, if you have ideas of intense love or intense hatred, you can actually be drawn to parts of the lesser Akashic that have to do with this, thereby increasing your love or your hate or whatever belief you have, whatever feeling you have that's part of a belief system. Now let's talk about the greater Akashic, because the greater Akashic doesn't store these thought forms like the lesser Akashic does. The greater Akashic deals with light inscriptions. The greater Akashic, as the name implies, has to do with higher level understanding. So it's void of the thought forms of strong love or strong hate or any other strong feelings, and it is instead pure information. So I urge you to access the greater Akashic. So the lesser Akashic, as relates to the Earth, to information from the Earth, is controlled by humans and their thoughts and their feelings and their impressions. The greater Akashic doesn't have this personal touch, and it only records truth, facts. Not impressions, not feelings, just facts. So both have their place. The higher Akashic doesn't have thought forms, and the lesser Akashic does. But the lesser Akashic, due to its nature, can have information that's just strong opinion or strong emotion. So both can be important. When you think about history, isn't it nice sometimes to read about what the people thought and felt during the time rather than this happened and that happened and the next thing happened? It's nice to know what everyone felt, how they reacted emotionally, what was going on in their hearts and souls and minds at the time, not just who signed what when and who discovered what when. So the lesser Akashic and the higher Akashic both have their roles. That's why they're both recorded. So, for that bit of information, we have Tahuti to thank, one of the many scribes responsible for making sure the Akashic records are in order and are recording what they are supposed to record. The Akashic records are like the DNA of the entire universe. They're a record of the soul's journey through time. Every thought, word, deed, everything is recorded in the Akashic records. Souls have their own Akashic records, and there are collective Akashic records for groups of souls and civilizations and planets. When we open the Akashic records, we align ourselves to the vibrations of the records themselves. Sometimes, if we're using the Akashic records for therapeutic purposes, we can look at why we may have patterns that seem to be addictive, why we choose relationships that we do, why we've created certain habitual responses to things. And furthermore, we can see how to create action in our lives rather than consistently reacting to things. We can do this by seeing the probable outcome of what we do and making other choices. Rather than just living in a reactionary state, if you see something coming up, you can take definite, strong action right now as a preventative measure. So you're not reacting because nothing's happened yet. You're acting, and that is setting the future in motion on a different and more beneficial path than what would have happened had you not taken that action. Realize that the Akashic records are not just made up of information that comes as a result of what you think and what you do. There's also information at a subatomic level. So information can be found for occurrences within everything and everyone in the entire universe. So there's an Akashic field of energy that's within everything that you do. Every situation that you put yourself in, the Akashic field of energy is present there and recording. So this ties us all together. We're all woven into this universal web of consciousness. And when we tap into this, we can access specific information in any place or any time in history. The next module is a programming module designed to enhance what you've already done. You've already gone through the process of astral Akashic record integration. And if you haven't, the next module is going to do it for you. So relax and realize that it's going to be handled. It's going to be taken care of. It's going to be installed on your behalf for you. If you've already done it, this will just enhance it and make sure that everything's working properly. Because the next module is a hypnosis recording, the Advanced Astral Akashic Recording, a titanium-level hypnosis recording designed to relax you and program your subconscious mind to accept Astral Akashic Record integration and to use it properly and to quickly and easily develop your way of viewing the Akashic Records. So, since it's a hypnosis recording, you should listen to it every night for at least a week while you're going through this program. And then after you've listened to all of your hypnosis recordings, you can go back through each of them and listen to them for 3 full weeks at a time to really make sure that they are part of your subconscious mind, part of your programming, part of who you are, to make sure that everything in the entire astral program is second nature for you. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have outstanding astral journeys.